You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing organizational issues. Some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful organizations. Today, I'm in Montreal speaking with Nicolas Dervonois, founder and CEO of Dervonois Creative Spirits, award-winning manufacturer of several of your favorite drinks, from pure vodka to Romeo's gin. Let's get started. Thank you, Nicolas, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what did your family do?
So I grew up in Montreal. I'm half from France, and I love to say half from France and half from Quebec. My dad's from Burgundy and my mom's from Saguenay. So two proud regions of my parents. And I grew up in Montreal. I was born in St. Justin's Hospital. So I really had a normal youth as a young kid in the 80s in Montreal.
So where did you study?
So I went to a private French high school called Stanislas, because it's super important for my parents, for my sister and I to not lose our heritage. And it was an excellent thing and a bad thing at the same time, because it was super difficult. And you know, the French approach in school is you have to be a doctor, engineer, or lawyer. And I loved basketball, and that's all I wanted to do. So it was quite a challenge. But I really, really loved my student years there. I wasn't the best in class. Actually, I was the worst in class, but I still loved school. I always was very curious. So maybe the grades weren't there, but the interest was there.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'5".
So this explains the did you make the basketball team?
Yeah. I actually did. I went to a sports program right after I started basketball, and I went to Vanier College, a college here in specialized in American football and basketball. And I even played a couple of games in France, professional, before I break my ankle. So it stopped that dream.
So that must have been a pretty traumatic moment where you have this dream of career and then you break an ankle and it's kind of like it's over. How did you deal with that?
Yes, well, actually, it came at the same time that my talent was at its maximum, but my work ethic wasn't there. I didn't even know that work ethic existed, because when you have talent, I had in basketball, it's good at the beginning, but at the end, everybody has talents. Even when you go to better leagues and you play with players that all of them have talent, but some of them have a work ethic, and those guys win, not guys like me.
You've learned a work ethic in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's going to be a dilettante, I think, is a French word, or the jack of all trades, the master of none, is an expression in English.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had a wide interest, wide ranging of interests. Mm-hmm. What did your parents do for a living?
So my dad was a journalist, and then he did some politics because he's from France, and he represented French people living outside of France. Yeah. So a lot of weekends in a French restaurant, listening French people saying what's wrong or what's better here. And my mom was working in Hôpital Saint-Justin, so in human resources.
Today we're speaking with Nicolas Dervonois, founder and CEO of Dervonois Creative Spirits, a Montreal-based award-winning manufacturer of vodka and gin, among other drinks. So at one point, you end up being a caretaker at one of the hospitals here.
A janitor, yeah.
My dad was a janitor, too.
Okay, cool.
Except he only had a grade four education, but this was a long time ago, obviously. Yeah. So how did you end up being a janitor?
So it's the same hospital where I was born, where my mom used to work, and actually where my three kids were born. It was my first student job. I was 17 years old. I was looking for a job, you know, as a student. And my mom said the hospital, they're looking for students for the summer shifts, you know, when people were taking breaks and vacations. And I said, okay, perfect, let's go and apply. And they took me, and I worked a good 12 years there. It was my student job at first, and then it's because of that job that I was able to self-finance my company.
But it's a very humble, like my father was a janitor. It's one of the most humble jobs in society.
Yeah.
Like bus driver makes more money. Like
it's everybody hard to think, makes better.
It's hard to think something lower than a janitor.
Yeah.
You know,
unfortunately.
Homeless person or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as I noticed, one of my MBA students started a company about, it was a cleaning company, mm-hmm. but it's saying we're making the world better. So mm-hmm. in some ways, the role of the janitor makes the world better because we're cleaning. Did that resonate with you in a sense?
Actually, I loved that job. I loved that job for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's super important to be for a hospital to be clean. Second of all, it's a children's hospital. So it's the best school of life. So when I used to work there as a student, it was my student job. But when I had to work there full-time at night to self-finance my company for 4 years, you know what? I never complained because, yes, the bank said no, but I'm cleaning a room of a two-year-old child that has cancer. So my life is amazing. And I really loved the fact that I worked not for me. I worked to do something for just the situation. You know, it has to be clean. And it's also a time of my life where I discovered tons of things that I never knew existed or that I never had the chance to see, like an operation or just someone giving birth. You know, sometimes you have to be there. And I worked at night mostly, so I was alone. And it was a bit of my my safe place. During the day, I was trying to make pure vodka possible, and I was going nuts. And my life wasn't that great. You know, when you start a business, you have no money, you have nothing, nobody believes in you and stuff like that. And then when I went there, it was just calm, peaceful. And I have to say, up until today, I love when it's clean, when it's well organized and stuff like that. So it was a perfect job for me.
Today, we're speaking with Nicolas Durnovois, founder and CEO of Durnovois Creative Spirits, a Montreal-based award-winning manufacturer of vodka and gin, among other drinks. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. At a children's hospital, you're the gentle giant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This,
yeah.
You know, a tall, bald man that just deep voice. So, I mean, all the children love you.
They will call me Caillou because it's a famous character for kids. And actually, I started there at 17, 18, and some kids are 15, 16. So some of them, I was like the only person non-medical that they were talking to. And I think that they really loved it. And I loved it because I saw myself as more than just a janitor. I saw myself as the guy who those kids, let's say, or almost adult, and when you're 17, can talk to and have a good time and not think that they're sick.
So you're a janitor. Where did you get the nerve to be an entrepreneur? Like, it just seems most people don't think of that.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I realized I was an entrepreneur by reading the story of an entrepreneur from Quebec, Cora, the restaurant owner. And I saw that you could build a business just with an idea. And I always had a ton of ideas, but I never knew that it was a bit like the practice for the entrepreneur. I thought that I was a bit losing my time of having ideas. But when I saw that you didn't have to be the strongest, have the best grades, be the richest, be the tallest, be whatever to be an entrepreneur, I loved the fact that it's almost like the ultimate democracy. You know, everybody kind of has the same chance. Just do it. And the fact that I was and still am very curious, the fact that I understand the power of $1, the fact that I live pretty well with uncertainty and the fact that I can lose because of sports. Well, I think that it was a great life training for me to start my own business.
So for those who are outside of Quebec, Cora is a breakfast restaurant, effectively, that's done very well.
Exactly.
And expanded enormously. So where did the idea of doing a vodka come from? Was there an aha moment?
Yeah, actually. So when I finished university, so I finished in political science, very proud to have finished university. I right away, the day after, literally the day after, opened my first business, and it was a restaurant. I always say I opened it. I mostly closed it, but I'm very good in closing restaurants, trust me. But it's at the restaurant that I discovered the popularity of vodka. I knew nothing about spirits. My dad's from Burgundy. I knew a bit about wine, but not that much also. But at the restaurant, we gave ourselves, because I was partners with my three best friends who quickly became my three best enemies. You know how it is. And so we gave ourselves tasks. And one of my tasks was to go to our liquor board, our state liquor board, ACQ, and buy the alcohol for the restaurant. And every week, I was surprised by how much vodka we bought, especially for a restaurant. I was going nowhere. And it's the week after when I went to ACQ, I said, look, I'm going to buy a Quebec-based vodka. I knew we did wine, cider, beer. There's 300 brewers in Quebec. And I knew nothing about vodka except for one little detail that I read in a magazine somewhere, that the better the water, the better the vodka. Quebec is like Qatar for spring water and for quality water. So I said to myself, there's going to be a lot of vodka producers. I went to ACQ and asked for a good Quebec-based vodka, and the employee said that he didn't think that it existed. So I'm like, it's impossible. Maybe not in that store, but in another region somewhere. And he went on his computer, and he changed my life a couple of minutes later when he said, look, there's no Quebec-based vodka in ACQ. And it's exactly at that right moment that I said, I'm going to be the first one.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Nicolas Durnavois, founder and CEO of Durnavois Creative Spirits, one of the world's top producers of award-winning vodka and gin based here in Montreal. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk about how Nicolas founded Durnavois and how the company shapes up in the industry.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again. Today we're speaking with Nicolas Durnavois, founder and CEO of Durnavois Creative Spirits, one of the world's top producers of award-winning vodka and gin based here in Montreal. What kind of restaurant was it that you would sell a lot of vodka?
So it was a French restaurant, but a bistro kind of. But since we were young when we opened that restaurant, I was 24, my friends also, all of our friends came and they wanted cocktails. They wanted to drink martinis and stuff like that. And I didn't know how to make them, but and I didn't know that vodka was almost part of all those cocktails and martinis.
Okay. So it's not only sitting and having a shot of vodka like I've done when I'm in Russia, but there's a lot of
yeah,
cocktails.
There's a whole... Look, vodka, there's 8 billion people on this planet. There's almost 8 billion bottles of vodka being sold every year. So it's a really popular spirit. It's actually the biggest category. And people drink it a lot, let's say it like that, and cocktails, martinis, even when there's a couple of four or five people, they even buy the bottle and they're drinking on ice with soda, with everything. So it's a super popular spirit, especially that you can mix it easily. It's not like a rum or tequila that's a bit harder to mix. Vodka is neutral, so you put orange juice or you put even champagne, and it can be great as a cocktail.
I took students to Russia, and we did a vodka tasting with the students at my house just so that undergraduates don't get carried away. And part of it is that the point of vodka is it to be neutral.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you have a great vodka? Like, exactly. You don't taste it. It's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the biggest point. I think that it's really because of this point or this fact that I was able to make it in that industry. Because when I was looking, when I was doing my business plan, I quickly realized that all the vodkas on this planet, they were always talking about cocktails and how to do cocktails. And mixology was at the beginning. So it was crazy. You needed vanilla from Madagascar. You needed like lemon from Sicily. You needed like, it was so complicated to do just a single cocktail. And then I said to myself, how come nobody talks about just drinking it as is, like a good scotch, a good tequila, a good mezcal or whatever, like an excellent spirit shouldn't be made only for mixing it. So that's how I got the name Pure Vodka. And that was my approach for the first couple of years in that industry. I wasn't talking at all about cocktails. I was always talking about drink it as a neat or on a little couple of ice cubes. That's it. That's all. I really wanted people to understand that 60% of that bottle is water, and we have the best water in the world. So boom, it's going to be the best vodka in the world.
Today, we're speaking with Nicolas Durnovois, founder and CEO of Durnovois Creative Spirits, a Montreal-based award-winning manufacturer of vodka and gin, among other drinks. Where do you get the water from? Like,
so it's
not the tap, I hope.
No. It's a private spring source water from a bit an hour and a half north of Quebec City. It's still called Lac Beauport municipality. It's not in Lac Beauport, but it's a bit further. But it's from there.
When we think of vodka, we think of Russia. What other countries make a lot of vodka?
So actually, all the Eastern European countries, they do a lot of vodka, but they do quantity vodka. Okay. Qualitative vodka is more in Europe. And there's quite some producers in the States. But I would say France, Great Britain, and Canada are pretty much the best outside Eastern Europe producers.
Are there other producers now in Canada beyond yourself?
Yeah. So when we started Pure Vodka, we were the first one. Actually, we were the first new ones, because you know the Seagram, the Bronfmans, they made a fortune out of spirits made in Quebec, but it disappeared for a good 50, 60 years. And then when I came back, we were the first one. And today, just in Quebec, there's more than 100 producers, not all of vodkas, but across Canada, there's at least 100 companies producing vodka now in Canada.
What year did you get started with Pure Vodka?
So we sold our first bottle in January 2010.
So it's really expanded. Partly, I guess, they saw your example and said, we can do this in BC. We have good water here, too.
Exactly. Here in Quebec, I was the first one for a couple of years to be selling spirits. And now there's more than 100 producers, and there's almost 175 Quebec-based gin. So it's crazy.
Well, friends of mine started Ngava gin, which has got
Charles Crawford,
friend of mine, and it's herbs from northern Quebec. Yeah. So no one else in the world can do this.
Exactly.
Because they're herbs from the Arctic and it's from Quebec.
Exactly.
They might be able to do it in Manitoba, but you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? So is it just vodka? What else? Do you make other things?
Yeah. So we mostly produce a gin, Romeo's gin, Canada's best sold independent gin. We have a ready-to-drink line of cocktails, so cocktails in cans made out of Romeo's gin. And we also just made our first acquisition in Drummondville, Buckhills, which is a microbrewery that specialized in alcohol-free beer. They do 20% of their volume is traditional beer, but they're really specialized in alcohol-free beer, which was the real reason behind the acquisition. I'm really interested in that opportunity.
How big is the company? How many employees and what kind of revenues?
So today we're around 60 employees. We sell close to 250,000 cases per year, so because we put everything in 90-liter cases, it's 4 or 5 million bottles and cans mixed, and our revenues were in the comfortable 8 range numbers. So we're pretty, we're profitable. So we're expanding quickly. We're a strong, well managed and strong financial strong company. So pretty excited for the next years. The past 12 years were the first part of our adventure, and it's been a good 3-4 years that we're entering a new phase where we really can feel it. We really can see it with the fact that we're just made an acquisition. We're hiring a lot. We're investing in a new production plant in Drummondville. We're opening new markets. It's really exciting.
Today, we're speaking with Nicolas Durnovois, founder and CEO of Durnovois Creative Spirits, a Montreal-based award-winning manufacturer of vodka and gin, among other drinks. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. typical question is, how did you finance this? I mean, it was from working as a janitor.
Yeah.
But presumably it's, you know, it's gone beyond
it
that.
Took, yeah. So it was, actually today I'm super happy that I had to self-finance myself. And I have to say that thank God to my then girlfriend, now wife, Caroline. She was a waitress. She was 20 years old. I was 24. And she helped me a lot, more than helped me. She paid my rent for 4 years. So I had no choice to other choice than to marry her. The perfect situation for me. Quickly, I realized that when you're the first one in an industry, it's super difficult to convince traditional loaners to help you. So I had no other choice than to be patient and to find private investors. So the first investor that came on board was Philippe de Gaspé-Beaubien, who's a well-known, his family and him, well-known business person in Quebec and Canada. And then after, there's a second investor that came in. He used to be the CEO of Sobeys Canada, Marc Poulin. And what I love about that approach, what Marc brings us, is really that he comes with a high-level manager approach, but he's super marketing driven. He really understands well the consumer, and he has a lot of experience in CPG brands. And it's something that really helped me to be able to see things a bit differently. And then after that, we just were greatly managed. So we have no debt. So we auto-finance ourselves almost.
What percentage do you own the company?
45%.
You're probably the single largest owner.
Yeah, I'm the largest, yeah.
So it's interesting because your two big investors gave you money, but maybe as valuable is their network and their wisdom. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Money was important at the beginning, and I thank God that it was, let's say, especially the first investor, just money, because I had to find my own path. And when you have an investor that knows or think he knows, there's a lot of chance that you enter a path where you just need more money and more employees, and you just do the same recipe but in different color. I had to do my own recipe. And yes, it's a risk. Yes, there's trials and errors and stuff like that. But at the end, we're here today because we really were the left-wing entrepreneur that listened to everybody but had no other choice than do his own thing. And at the end, I really do think that's why we're very innovative and we have that much of a success.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Nicolas Durnovois, founder and CEO of Durnovois Creative Spirits, one of the world's top producers of award-winning vodka and gin based here in Montreal. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about leadership working from home and lessons learned from the pandemic.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again. Today we're speaking with Nicolas Durnovois, founder and CEO of Durnovois Creative Spirits, one of the world's top producers of award-winning vodka and gin based here in Montreal. Where did you learn to make vodka? Like, did you go to learn to make vodka?
Yeah, so look, I approached a master distiller. I knew what I was good in and what I wasn't good in. And I'm good at being the architect of an idea. I'm good at selling. I'm good at convincing people of this and that. But producing vodka or any other spirits or beer or whatever, you need to have a craftsmanship approach. You need to have knowledge, specific knowledge. You need to be patient and have the equipment. At the beginning, I had no money for nothing of that. So I had to approach a master distiller, Michel Jodoin, who's really known here in Quebec and Canada. He's actually permit 001 for micro distillery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the first one. And he believed in me when I had nothing. We still work a bit with him because we grew so much that we're a couple of places now. But I still work with him, and he really took me under his wing, professional dad, as I would say. And he helped me develop not only my first pure vodka recipe, but almost all of our recipes. And I almost talk to him almost every month now. And I can't thank him enough for trusting a dude, a 24-year-old guy who comes to him and says, look, I want to do vodka. What do you know about vodka? Nothing. Do you have money? No. Do you know what you want? No. What did you study? Political science. Okay. Experience in business? Yeah, I opened and closed a restaurant the same month. And he said, okay, that's a great thing. Let's do this. So that's rare. Those people are rare.
COVID-19. So it was around March that the world shut down, Quebec at least, where we live. What was the impact on your sales and how you did business?
So the impact was instant because we saw it a couple of months before it came actually in Canada, because we had just launched in Japan, in Costco in Japan actually, and it went really well, our gin, and from one day to the other, everything stopped. And then after, we saw it in France. Yes, my family, but we had 2 employees back then in France. And we saw our sales in Europe, not just in France, disappear almost, everything. And then when it came here, it was a bit weird, because at the beginning, we didn't know what would happen with the state liquor boards. Across Canada, it's pretty much all government-run. And when they closed the restaurant, we said, okay, let's say goodbye to, let's say, 8% of our business. And then when they closed all the sports and arenas and stuff like that, another maybe 5% disappeared. So I was like, okay, what's the plan now? But people, they continued to eat and drink. Instead of going to a restaurant, they were drinking at home. So it's the type of products that they change a bit their consumption. But since we had quite a range of a good portfolio, we lost on some products, we gained on the other products. So on the spirit side, it was almost as if we continued as if nothing changed. On the leadership side, it was pretty difficult, especially for me, because working from home is not my thing. I'm a sports player. I love my team. We are coming back. It's not the office, as you can see, is not like I would want it to be. There are new offices and we're still waiting for a ton of stuff. But I love being in the middle of the action. I love talking to people. I love meeting people. And it was complicated, but we had no other choice than to just live with that reality. Everybody was in the same situation. So it's not as if I was the only one living that. And we quickly took a decision that changed a good part of that whole 2 years. Maybe a good year of my life was almost 100% on a division that we launched just for helping our partners and the government. We started to produce hand sanitizers, sanitizing wipes, and it took a level that I never expected. And it was a lot of work, a lot of under pressure work. You know, you're always under pressure when you're an entrepreneur, but now it was like a hospital calling and they needed it for like yesterday. So it's a different type of, so I'm super proud of what we have done, but it really tired me. It was super difficult. So to be alone, working from your home, I had young kids, still have them running around, and that's their job, and it's okay. But when you are someone that needs concentration to work, it's a bit complicated. I was feeling guilty not to be as much present with my team. I was stressing for the company, even though after a couple of months, we saw that it was going great, but still, with all the uncertainties and stuff like that, and the price changes and stuff like that, and we were launching new products, so I was stressing out. Like we invest a good year on every new product and then boom, we can't do anything. It went well. And then when I got the idea of creating that the sanitizing things, it was crazy. From 0 to 100 miles in 30 seconds. It was, we sold for more than $5 million of hand sanitizers. I didn't even know 10 seconds before having the idea what was the product, like what was the recipe of a hand sanitizer company. It was a break-even adventure. We gave so much products because, you know, in a world where there's a pandemic, like there's a part of me where I felt bad selling those products. We had no choice because we were paying to produce them. But it was an amazing team experience. But it was pretty much crazy because it took a year of my life, like 7 days a week.
Today, we're speaking with Nicolas Durnevoix, founder and CEO of Durnevoix Creative Spirits, a Montreal-based award-winning manufacturer of vodka and gin, among other drinks. Big issue these days is mental health. You think of the gymnasts over the Olympics and the woman in the French Cup. Yeah. So, I mean, did you wrestle a bit with mental health and maybe your wife had to say calm down a bit from time to time?
Yeah. So actually, my wife kicked me out of our home for me to go back to work from our offices because I lost my routine. I live 30 minutes from here. I walk a lot. I love walking. And before the pandemic, I had a routine. My schedule's crazy, so I'm like a military guy. Every minute is counted. And then with the pandemic, I lost everything. I didn't have to walk. I didn't have to put a shirt on. I didn't have to.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the biggest mistake of my life of not knowing myself professionally better. Today, I changed everything. And during the pandemic, when I can't succeed in something, when I live or I go past an échec, a failure, I have to understand it. And during the pandemic, the second part of it, so I approach a couple of specialists like to understand how you can make it as a leader working remotely. And I had an idea of writing a book about that, which went really well. But it's just to prove to you that, yes, I almost went through a phase of hitting a brick wall. So I did everything after that, during those months after it, to I restarted training. I cut in all the, a bit, not junk food, but, you know, sometimes you eat chips at night and stuff that. I really tried to give myself like a new routine to be able to come back as the Nick that I knew myself. And it helped me a lot. So yes, it was difficult, but it was difficult for everybody, I think.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
So what did you learn about leadership during the pandemic? Anything that any takeaways, if you would?
That leaders, especially for me, put so much emphasis and so much pressure on themselves to make sure that they're good leaders for the team, but not they forget that they have to be good for themselves also. And you're always I'm always the last person I think about when you really want to be good at something, or you really want to show an example, you have to show yourself the example before and not just thinking about other people.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Nicolas Durnevoix, founder and CEO of Durnevoix Creative Spirits, one of the world's top producers of award-winning vodka and gin based here in Montreal. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about whether Nicolas is an introvert or extrovert and how he spends his free time.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again. Today, we're speaking with Nicolas Durnevoix, founder and CEO of Durnevoix Creative Spirits, one of the world's top producers of award-winning vodka and gin based here in Montreal. Are you more of an introvert or extrovert?
Extrovert.
No question.
I'm 50-50. I'm an extrovert in a sense that I do keynotes all over the place. I talk a lot. I always talk, blah, blah, blah. But when my ideas, before I say to my team what they are, I work on them for months alone in front of my computer. I need to think about those those words that I want to use. I need to think about the idea, the ideal consumer, stuff like that. And that, I do it a lot when I walk at night. When everybody sleeps, I walk sometimes 2-3 hours, listen to podcasts, no noise, and I just think. So I'm half and half.
Okay, an ambivert, we call that. Mm-hmm. So how do you recharge after a long day? Is it the walk home, or how do you recharge?
Yeah, definitely walk home and podcast me. I need to listen to something. My brain needs to be active. I need to learn something. I love French politics from France, so I listen to all the shows during my walk. They are late at night, so all the shows are done, so I can listen to them. And I love learning stuff, so that's how I relax.
So are you going to become a French politician?
No. I'm too much of an action guy. There's a game to play in politics, like in business, but I really do think that when you're an active business person, but when you're an active citizen, you can make way more changes than when you're in politics.
Do you have an exit plan?
No. And it surprises a lot of people, because when I started business, I didn't even know that it existed to have an exit plan. And I see young entrepreneurs now of days, they haven't even started selling something, and they're talking about their exit plan and their financial rounds and stuff like that. Me, I had to clean floors to be able to finance my company. And my exit plan is just, I wish I have 1 week of vacation in Cancun. That's my dream.
So, you're a relatively young man.
Yeah.
Just keep growing the business. Go for global domination.
Global domination. No. What I like from a business is to be able to stay human. So I would say a $250, $300 million company, okay. I'm not aiming for $50 billion. I'm not, no.
Today we're speaking with Nicolas Durnovois, founder and CEO of Durnovois Creative Spirits, a Montreal-based award-winning manufacturer of vodka and gin, among other drinks. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO series. So do all ideas come from you and everybody salutes?
Not anymore. No. Not anymore. And all those people that I was talking just a bit earlier, the C-suite, I tried to find the best possible, and I cannot stand people saying yes to me just because I'm the boss. I want you to destroy my idea, and I'm pretty happy if you're right. I'm actually ecstatic if you're right, because you're there for that. Because I'm a guy of ideas. So I cannot trust someone who always says yes. You need to try to convince me it's not a good idea, but with real points. Not, I think. Like, I
want
come,
some evidence.
Yeah, I want evidence. When I have a new idea, I come and present, and I have 80 pages of evidence. Like, I can make O.J. Simpson like guilty. Trust me. Like, I'm I'm that precise.
Yeah.
So you have to be precise with me. That's the only thing
down the
ask.
Hall is Sports Logique.
Yeah.
McGill MBA grad Craig. Do you use big data? Like, do you have a lot of data and you use it?
So exactly. That's why we're looking for a chief digital, because we, since last year, I really am working hard on that transformation. We were, unfortunately, in a country where all the sales from the alcohol is highly regulated and controlled by state government companies. So we don't always have all the data that we want or that we would want. It's one of the reasons behind the acquisition of Buckel, the alcohol-free beer, is that they sell online for a good couple of years. So they have data, and we can understand better the consumer and stuff like that. But we're investing massively on that.
Did anybody go on to the NBA from your team?
Yeah, actually, Samuel D'Alembert did 11 years in the NBA. There's a couple of... I was at pretty much the highest level you can go in Canada. So there's a couple of players that went in Europe also. And a couple of other players that on the American football side in Valley College that went to the NFL. So it's pretty impressive.
What's your team in the NBA?
My team in the NBA is definitely the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan was there. I love the fact that he's me, I respect a lot leaders that lead by example, that weren't born with everything for them, let's say. And I love people that, you know, in business, there's, let's say, two types of entrepreneurs. And I feel that there's a lot of entrepreneurs that live, that their company, they live from their company instead of for the company. And I'm like that, me. I love people who sacrifice themselves. I'm not saying that I do, that I don't eat because of my business, but man, my business comes first and it's important for me and I respect my business. And it's not because it's my business, I do whatever with it. I respect that. So Michael Jordan was like that in his team and he had a great coach, Phil Jackson, one of the best books ever, 11 Rings. And yeah, so nowadays, I still love basketball, but I prefer now NCAA because now they're all a bit superstars with Instagram. It's never a good mix.
What's your favorite drink?
Ooh, Italian wine. My dad hates it when I respond that because for Burgundy, but I love Italian food and I love Italian wine. I think that they developed their wine and their food with the idea that it's going to be shared with friends and family. Yeah. And I think that's why I love it. But definitely wine. I'm a wine guy. Or a tequila guy in cocktails.
This is the CEO Series. Nicholas, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, our producer, Yusuf Sahoni, and scriptwriter, Stephanie Ritchie. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. Alla prochaine.